This past Wednesday, our nation celebrated her 242nd birthday. We celebrated the 4th of July, Independence Day, our nation's freedom. And maybe you were off work. Maybe you enjoyed some time with friends and family. Maybe you shot off some fireworks. But we think about once a year on July the 4th, our nation's freedom. This morning, I want us to think about our freedom in Christ. On July the 4th, 1776, we declared our independence from the nation of Britain and the King of England. And we said, we're going to be free from that. And from that time, we've had the Stars and Stripes, the American flag, the Liberty Bell, the Statue of Liberty as symbols of our nation's freedom. But friends, I want us to think about something. As United States citizens, we are truly free. But if there is sin in our lives, we are not free. There's another kind of freedom that I want us to study this morning from God's Word, and that is the freedom in Christ that we have when we can be freed from sin. If you'll turn with me to Isaiah chapter 61, in just a moment I want to read the first three verses. We've celebrated our nation's Independence Day. I want to talk about the Christian's Independence Day. Are you free from sin, friends? If not, I want to encourage you to be free from sin, and let us help you to learn the truth that will set you free. Be baptized into Christ and wash away your sins. I want you to be free in Christ. In Isaiah chapter 61, there's a prophecy concerning Jesus Christ. This was fulfilled by Christ. He read this passage in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18 in a synagogue. When the scroll of Isaiah was given to him, he read from this passage and he said, "Today this has been fulfilled in your ears." And the prophecy is this, Isaiah 61 and verse 1, "The Spirit of the Lord, Jehovah, is upon me, because Jehovah hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the year of Jehovah's favor and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them a garland for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of Jehovah, that he may be glorified." Jesus had the Spirit of the Lord upon him to preach good tidings unto the meek, those who were humble, those who wanted to accept truth. Others didn't want to accept that. And when he preached good tidings to them, he proclaimed liberty to the captives. Physically, Jesus freed people from their infirmities with his miracles. But spiritually, he freed them from their sin with his truth. If you turn with me to John chapter 8, we'll read about how that truth sets us free. Are you free from sin? In John chapter 8, in verse 31, we read, "Jesus therefore said to those Jews that had believed, 'If you abide in my word, then you are truly my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.'" First of all, Jesus came to set liberty to the captives. Number two, he does that by his word. "If you abide in my word, the truth shall make you free." Freedom is accomplished through the preaching of the gospel of good tidings of peace, preaching truth. And Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We're going to talk about free from what in just a moment. But notice that it is truth, words, in the New Testament gospel that sets us free. In James chapter 1 and verse 25, James talks about the perfect law of liberty. He's talking about the New Testament gospel. And notice that it's the perfect law of liberty. That's the law of Christ, 1 Corinthians 9, Galatians 6, verse 1. It's the law of the Spirit of life, Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. The law of liberty. Jesus has a law that is laid down. It's the new covenant law. It's the law that he shed his blood for and dedicated on the cross. And it's interesting that some people would not connect law and liberty. Some people think that liberty means that there's no law that you have to live by. You just get up each day and live any way you want. When in fact, being a Christian, there is freedom from some things, but it's because we're walking by law, not in spite of it or apart from it. Liberty and law go together. James calls the New Testament gospel the perfect law of liberty. He does the same thing in James chapter 2 and verse 12. So Jesus came to set at liberty those who are captive. Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. And he does that through his truth, John 8, 32, his law of liberty, James 1, 25. And now, let's look at this freedom. Freedom in Christ is unique. When you talk about American freedom, you're talking about a revolutionary war that took place in order to separate those on this continent from the King of England. Physical liberty, physical separation, freedom from someone else's law, someone else's rules, someone else's taxation, and so forth. But we're talking about a unique kind of freedom when we talk about freedom in Christ. We're not talking about those things. We're talking about freedom from sin. In John chapter 8 and verse 32, when Jesus said to these Jews, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free," they immediately responded this way. Verse 33, they answered, "We are Abraham's seed and have never yet been in bondage to any man. How do you say you shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, everyone that commits sin is the bondservant of sin. And the bondservant abideth not in the house forever. The Son abides forever. If therefore the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Truly free from sin. They're thinking physical bondage, and he was talking about spiritual bondage and sin. Actually, they had been in physical bondage before when they said that they hadn't. They had been in Babylonian captivity, 586. Assyrian captivity, 722. Egyptian bondage, around 1400 BC and earlier. They were conveniently ignoring these types of bondages when they said, "We have never been in bondage to anyone," going back to Abraham. But he wasn't talking about physical bondage. He was talking about spiritual bondage and sin. And he says, everyone who commits sin, and that would include you and I, is a bondservant. So there's your bondage. A bondservant of sin. We're serving that, and our master is the devil. So let's talk about freedom in Christ. What is it? Freedom from what? Well, first of all, freedom from sin. In Romans chapter 6, the Apostle Paul will mention this in the same way. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 6, "Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away, that so we should no longer be in bondage to sin. For he that has died," talking about separating from that old life, "is justified," or released from sin. And so, when we obey the gospel, when we're baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, we can be separated from that bondage of sin. And we can be separated from the condemnation that goes along with that. In Romans 6 and verse 23, "The wages of sin is death." But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Spiritual death and separation, and we're condemned by God. So in Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ Jesus? Paul said that that happens when we're baptized into Christ. Romans 6, 3 and 4, that's how we are in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Galatians 3, 26 and 27. So are you in Christ Jesus? Have you been baptized into Christ Jesus? If so, Paul says, there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. So we're freed from sin and its penalty, its condemnation. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and of death. Free. But notice again, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's the New Testament gospel. It's the same as the law of liberty. It's the same as the law of Christ. Galatians 6:1. So we have to obey that gospel law. Hear it, believe it, confess that Jesus is the Christ, believe that in our heart, confess that with our mouth, Romans 10:9 and 10. Repent, turn away from sin. Acts 17, 30 and 31, Luke 13, 5, Acts 2, 38, repent, and then be baptized for the remission of our sins. Acts 2, 38, have our sins washed away, Acts 22, 16. Be baptized into Christ, put on Christ, Galatians 3, 26 and 27. Those who lived in New Testament times, who were under the old law of Moses, when they became Christians, they were freed from the law of Moses. Paul writes about this in Romans chapter 7, verse 4. Wherefore, brethren, you also were made dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you should be joined to another, even to him who was raised from the dead, that we might bring forth fruit unto God. Verse 6, having been discharged from the law, we serve in newness of spirit, freed from the law. And that's what Paul writes about in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. For freedom did Christ set us free. Be not entangled again in a yoke of bondage. Some were wanting to go back to the old law. So those Jews who were under the old law, and then they become Christians, they're no longer under that old law. They're freed from that. And they're not to go back to that. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. He had been talking about the passing away of the old law. Some today want to go back and use the old law for church matters and religious matters. They're trying to bring back a law that has been done away. Some will go back to the Old Testament for the Sabbath day. Some will go back to the Old Testament for tithing. Some will go back to the Old Testament for instrumental music and other types of things. Some use the Old Testament to justify sprinkling of babies. They talk about circumcision being for an 8-year-old infant, and they twist that and turn that to mean that infants can be baptized, infant baptism. They get that from twisting a circumcision in the Old Testament. But we're not under the old law, friends. We're freed from that. We're under a law of Christ. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Christ frees us from sin and its condemnation in the old law, but Christ also frees us from the fear of death. We're all appointed to die. It is appointed unto man once to die, then comes the judgment. Hebrews 9, 27. So we're all going to die, provided the Lord doesn't come again, his second coming. We're going to die. But we don't have to fear that. We don't have to fear what is facing us beyond the grave. We don't have to fear the judgment day. We don't have to fear where we're going to spend eternity if we are a faithful Christian. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14, Since then the children are sharers in flesh and blood, he, Jesus, also himself in like manner partook of the same. He came to earth, became a man, that through death he might bring to naught or nothing him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and might deliver all them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. What's on the other side of the grave? Well, Jesus died and rose again to let us know we can be raised. We don't have to fear. Death is not the end of the journey. Death is a transition between this life and the eternal life of the next life. And we don't have to fear death. We don't have to fear being ruled by man and being told what to do by man's laws. I'm not talking about the law of the land. I'm not talking about being a good citizen. We're supposed to obey civil government. Romans chapter 13, we're to obey the laws of the land. I'm talking about human laws and creeds and rules that are written to tell us how to be right with God and how to live as a Christian. We're freed from man's opinions and ignorance and superstition and human creeds and church dogma and church rules. We simply follow the law of Christ. That is our rule. And we're freed from what men dictate and write down. We don't have to follow that. Paul writes in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, "Take heed lest there shall be anyone that maketh spoil of you through his philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." He says later in verse 16, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a feast day or a new moon or a Sabbath." Verse 18, "Let no man rob you of your prize by a voluntary humility and worshiping of the angels," and so forth. Verse 20, "If you died with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourself to ordinances?" Paul is saying these things do not have rule over you. You've died with Christ in baptism. And these philosophies and human traditions, he calls them the rudiments of the world, the basic teachings of man, they don't control you. Your wisdom comes from Christ. All the wisdom, the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ, Colossians 2:3. Paul makes a similar point in the book of Colossians. If you turn to Colossians chapter 4, he's trying to get people, Christians, not to go back and follow the rules of man, even if they're religious individuals. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 8, "Howbeit at that time," this is before their conversion, "not knowing God, you were in bondage to them that by nature are no gods. But now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how do you turn back again to the weak and beggarly rudiments whereunto you desire to be in bondage over again? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I am afraid of you, lest by any means I have bestowed labor upon you in vain." They're going back and following what man says, what some false teachers said in the area of Galatia after Paul had left. He's writing this letter to correct their error. They came in and tried to get them to leave the simple New Testament gospel. They were preaching another gospel. And these people were subjecting themselves to that in bond. It's like being in bondage to man-made rules and creeds and traditions. And we have that so much in religion today. There's so much, like the Pharisees in Matthew 23, who loaded people down with heavy burdens that they themselves would not even bear. We're freed from all of that. You don't have to follow religious human traditions and creeds and laws. You don't have to follow any of that. We simply follow the law of Christ. And his burden is light. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. will you come and be freed in Christ? So, freedom from sin and its condemnation, the old law, fear of death, and the human creeds and traditions of man. Now, before we close this morning, we have a few minutes left on the program. Will you be free in Christ? Will you have a Independence Day as a Christian? The day that you're baptized is your Christian Independence Day. I want to make a point that freedom doesn't mean we get to live any way we want. Freedom in Christ is not, first of all, a license to sin. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. Paul had said in verse 1 that they were free in Christ. They weren't to go back and be entangled in the old law. But he wants to clarify that in verse 13. For you, brethren, were called for freedom. Only use not your freedom for an occasion to the flesh, but through love be servants one to another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. And then he goes on to talk later about the works of the flesh, sinful types of things. Use not your freedom for an occasion to the flesh. We can't say, well, I'm free in Christ, and then turn around and live a fleshly, sinful life. And he mentions things in verse 19, such as fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, wrath, faction, division, parties, envyings, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I forewarn you, even as I did forewarn you, that they who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And then he goes on to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. That's what we're supposed to have. But free in Christ is not a license to sin. We can't go around engaged in the works of the flesh and say, well, I'm free in Christ. We have to live a holy life. Then turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter echoes the same thing there. He says, as free, 1 Peter 2:16, as free and not using your freedom for a cloak of wickedness, but as bondservants of God. We're free in Christ, but we're still a bondservant of Christ and a bondservant of God. That word bondservant is used a lot in the New Testament to describe a Christian. We're free in Christ. We're free from sin and these things that we just talked about. But that doesn't mean we're not servants. We're servants of Christ and of God, and that means we have some rules and regulations and some restrictions. That means when we follow the New Testament teaching, that law of liberty, it's a law. It makes us free from sin, but not free to live any way we want. So we must live holy and pure lives. And when we sin, and if we make a mistake, we can repent and confess and come back to Christ. But we're to live holy and pure lives. Number two, freedom in Christ is not freedom to hurt others with our opinions and scruples. We might have some liberties that we can practice as a Christian, but that doesn't mean we go around binding them on others. Now, we're talking about matters that are neither right nor wrong in the sight of God. They're matters that are indifferent in God's eyes. Two examples that Paul gives are that of eating meat and observing certain kinds of days over other days. He's not talking about matters of right and wrong or morality or truth and error, things like that. He's talking about matters of indifference, matters of personal scruple and opinion. We don't have a right to hurt others with that and bind that on others. And so Paul writes, for example, in 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 9, but take heed that by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to the weak. We can't force or bind our scruple on other people or other Christians, or exercise it in such a way that they see us and they're compelled to do it against their conscience because they're wanting to be like us. We need to be willing, and Paul goes on to say that he would not eat meat, for example, in front of others if it was going to go against their conscience. So we don't have freedom to hurt others. And then last of all, freedom in Christ is not freedom from Christ. As I said earlier, bond servants of Christ is a statement that is made especially by Paul, different places. And in 1 Corinthians 7 in verse 23, he says, he that was called being free, he's talking about in the first century, you were a slave or you were a free man. When you became a Christian, if you were a free man, he said, you are Christ's bondservant, 1 Corinthians 7, 22. So, as a Christian, we still have to serve Christ, and that means following his law. Friend, are you free in Christ? Will you be free from the burden of sin? Sin is a burden. It weighs down the conscience. It weighs down the heart and the mind. One of the Proverbs says that the way of the transgressor is hard. It weighs us down. It hurts us. It goes against us. And we can have all of that relieved if we will simply believe in our heart that Jesus is the Christ, confess that with our mouth, Romans 10, 9 and 10, repent of our sins and be baptized, Acts 2, 38. Will you do that today and let that load and burden and enslavement of sin be lifted off? Jesus came to set at liberty those who are captive, Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. Why not let him set you at liberty today? He shed his blood to do that, just like all of those in the Revolutionary War shed their blood for our nation's independence. Jesus shed his blood for your independence. And when we wave the old glory, the red, white, and blue flag, and we see that red, we're reminded of the blood that was spilt during the Revolutionary War and in wars since to maintain freedom. Let me encourage you to look, as someone would look at old glory, look at the old rugged cross of Calvary and see the blood-stained cross and the blood that was shed for your personal independence from sin. We would encourage you to be free in Christ. Let us help you to do that. Let us study together. If you want to know more, come worship with us in a worship service where you can learn more. Our nation's independence is important, but more so, your own personal independence in Christ and freedom in Christ. May we always cherish our freedom, both our national freedom and our freedom in Christ. And may we never take that freedom for granted and be mindful of what others have done for us, especially Jesus on the cross, so that we can be saved from sin. Be concerned today. Would you be free from the burden of sin? Let us help you to do that. We're glad that you joined us this morning on the Let the Bible Speak program. We're always glad that you're with us. Tune in next week for another edition. Thank you for being with us, and we hope that you'll have a good day.